episode 1042, 1982, film in review.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono. We're back.
We're back, Ben, and it is my birthday week, everybody.
Happy birthday. Your present's on its way.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that's true.
Should be here any month now.
So listeners, if you want to get me a birthday present, all you have to do is go to thescifichristian.com. Right at the top, you'll see a button for the Sci-Fi Christian beginning of the year ballot. That's where Ben has put our ballot for the beginning of the year,
right?
Listener Appreciation Jubilee. Go ahead and vote. It's all ready for you. All you have to do is click some buttons and you're done. Also, if you happen to be on our Patreon feed, if you're paying to be one of our members over there, there are some more ballots for all of those shows where you can also vote for the beginning of the year Listener Appreciation Jubilees for all of those. So that's my request to you. But Ben, why are we doing this episode tonight?
Well, you were born in 1982.
I mean, this is a milestone for me. I'm turning 40.
Right.
In just 2 days as we record, I'll be 40 years old. And I think earlier in the year, it was, not that I was struggling with it, but it felt, this number feels a little weird to me. Now I'm starting to feel more excited for it.
Yeah.
But early in the year, it felt.
Felt like death?
No, not that. I don't want to be overdramatic because I know it's not old. It just feels like a number you don't expect to get to.
I mean, I'm expecting to get there.
It's just a number that I think you don't really picture yourself being.
Oh, it's a milestone.
Until you are
right,
there.
Right.
Like you imagine the 20s and the 30s, but when you start to get to the 40s, it just felt like that's not a number I considered a lot when I was a kid.
Well, and I've thought about how you can kind of sum your life, like if you took your life in 20-year chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have, you know, 1 to 20, 0 to 20, that's your childhood, and then 20 to 40, that's your kind of establishing yourself, starting a family, figuring out your career and everything. 40 to 60, it's like, okay, this is your doing your career and finishing things well and all of that for the next 20 years, and then your next chunk now is retirement.
So 60 to 80, what I have to look forward to for 60 to 80,
and then 80 to 100 is like, if you make it that far, it's just bonus, and you hope you're still functional enough to do something worthwhile.
So if you're saying if 80 to 100 is the bonus level, then yeah. I am I'm in the third of the four, right? Guaranteed.
Yeah, well, guaranteed's a little
chunks.
Strong, but yeah.
So like I said, earlier in the year, a little bit tough, but now as we're approaching it, I feel like kind of excited about 40. I feel like I think I might have even felt like timid about admitting that I was turning 40, but now I feel maybe proud. I'm not sure if proud is the right word, but I think I'm feeling my age.
Proud
of my age, maybe. I don't really
know.
Right,
it's like you made it that far.
I made
far.
It, 40. What a milestone. So to celebrate, we're going to talk through our top 10 movies from 1982, which is an idea I had.
Right.
And then today I went to go actually make that list.
How many movies have you seen from
1982? 10. Exactly
perfect.
10. And one I haven't seen since childhood, so I won't be able to say much about it. How about you? How many had you seen since 1982?
I've seen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 22.
I should say I had scanned through my movies to make sure I had quite a few 1982 movies, which I did. I never actually sat down and put them into an order until maybe five hours
ago. And what's interesting, because I know some of the movies from 1982... are movies that you don't like that I know you've seen. I can think of at least two on here that I know you don't like.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting. I always thought that Return of the Jedi came out in 1982.
Yeah, I think
it's actually 83.
Yeah.
I don't know why I have it in my head that it was 82.
So Ben, how should we start this? You want to give your runners up, or are there any before we get to 10? Are there any worth mentioning, like 11 or 12?
Not that I would put in for a favorite. I think I have, you know, other things I didn't put on the list. Wrath of Khan is a good movie. Didn't make my list. Rocky III didn't make my list. One of the later Pink Panther movies, it might be the very last one with Peter Sellers. Yeah, this was, The Trail of the Pink Panther, which is the worst Pink Panther film because Peter Sellers died before it was finished. So it's essentially just like a clip show where they used footage from other movies, so it's a bad movie, but it's a milestone because don't watch that one, but the other earlier Pink Panther movies are phenomenal.
Okay.
See if there's anything else that is noteworthy in here. I think that's probably it.
All right, I have to start with my number 10 because I have some notes ready for this. I don't know when the last time I watched this movie was. I don't know what year it was. I do remember. So right now, kids, if they're bored and want to watch TV on a Saturday afternoon, they have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus. They could stream anything they want. Right. When I was a kid, you just turned on the TV to see what was on. And maybe there was a Saturday afternoon movie on like network television just randomly playing.
Yeah.
I remember watching quite a few random movies. And these like,
and if you missed the beginning,
yes,
you just started whenever.
So I'm thinking back. I know we had cable growing up, but I know for a fact that I watched this on one of the like traditional network television stations. So here we go. My first movie on the list is a movie called Zapped, starring Scott Baio.
Haven't seen it.
And Willie Ames. Now these two co-starred together in a TV show I remember liking when I was growing up called Charles in Charge. Did you ever watch Charles in Charge?
No, but I've always liked the title.
So I just went and checked, and that show premiered in 1984. Well, this movie Zapped came out in 1982. If anybody has seen this and they're hearing me say I watched it as a kid, they're going to be shocked because this appears to be a raunchy comedy.
That's what I was going to say. I just looked it up on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia describes it as a 1982 American teen sex comedy.
Yeah. I mean, I watched an edited version because it was on network television.
Look at the poster.
Yes, it's on Letterboxd. So here's what I remember. And again, years ago, like almost 40 years since I've seen it probably, these two high school boys develop telekinesis.
Yeah.
And they use it to like do random
pranks. They're lifting a girl's skirt up on the poster.
I think they do pranks and I don't know what else.
Some lighthearted sexual assault.
I'm not sure about the sexual assault.
It was the 80s.
I don't remember. I think
that lifting a girl's skirt up without her knowledge or consent is probably sexual assault.
So if the poster is true to the content of the movie, then definitely.
Did you see the tagline on here? They're getting a little behind in their classwork.
So just imagine, I might have been like 7 or 8 watching this movie. So again, I had to round out my 1982 films into that top 10 because I literally have seen 10 films from that year. And so I'm sort of ashamed that this is on the list. I don't remember much about it other than I had already watched Charles in Charge by the time I first came across this movie, and these are the exact two lead actors in that show. No connection.
It has a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So I just want listeners to know there's no connection between Zapped and Charles in Charge. I would not recommend it.
Should we do a Zapped review?
Please, no.
For the uncensored feed?
I don't think we would like it now. It seems like you are a little interested. I don't remember. Yeah, like, I'm reading the description. They discovered a formula for telekinetic powers. I don't remember any of that. I vaguely remember watching the movie with the Charles in Charge people. Telekinesis sounds right. There. But it was on my watch list. I had seen it.
You know, there's something lighthearted and charming about 80s sex comedies where they just dropped sexual assault in without Eddie's level of self-awareness.
It
just went about their business.
I know. Well, that is messed up. I agree with that. And also, it's weird that, like, what version? Like, I know I watched the edited version, but did they? They did this a lot in the 90s, like making random versions. Like, right. Die Hard, there's a lot of talk about how they edited a bunch of the dialogue.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, or Melon Farmer.
So it's just like, how did this even make it onto the air at like a time when a kid would be watching? This looks really bad if you look at this poster.
It does.
So I'm embarrassed, but
please,
I have
please
to...
Please everyone go and look up the poster for Zapped. You won't be sorry. And there's an ashamed, if not shocked, portrait of George Washington in the background.
So I'm embarrassed that I've watched it, but I told you I'd make a list of my top 10 1982 films, and this is...
You could have pivoted to top 5.
I should have done top 5.
I wouldn't have objected.
Or 9, anything. But this is a movie I watch as a kid, although edited, thank goodness. So it is.
Well, this episode's been worth it.
10 for you.
10 for me is a movie called Veronica Voss by West German filmmaker.
I love when this happens.
Fassbinder. It's very stylish, a little bit different than what he's normally done for stylish. I watched it a couple times. I really like it. It kind of blends together with a couple of other of his movies plot-wise because it's in a pack from a three-pack from Criterion, so I've watched them all back-to-back a couple times. But this one's very, very good. I like it a lot. Rainer Werner Fassbinder, who himself liked to drop in some unannounced sexual assault throughout his life and career. Not the best person, but a very good filmmaker, and this is one that's always stood out for me in his filmography.
Ben, the Zapped letterbox entry has revealed to me that 8 years later in 1990, they decided it would be a great idea to do a sequel called Zapped Again.
Oh my goodness. I think we have to...
I have not seen that one.
We have to hunt these down and watch them.
All right. Well, let's see here. You ready for my number nine?
Yes.
All right, listeners. Well, let's move away from that. And let's go to a movie I'm sure a lot of you have seen. The Dark Crystal. I almost said from 1982, but I think I won't specify that today.
Okay.
Have you seen The Dark Crystal, Ben?
I have not.
This is a Jim Henson production. Actually directed by Jim Henson.
According
and
to Letterboxd,
Frank Oz.
You have seen Zapped Again.
I must have made a mistake. I'm sure I have not seen. This is what I would say I have not seen.
Okay.
But thank you for calling me out. Wait a second. Who even knows at this point? So Dark Crystal, I finally watched this just a few years ago because it seems like it has a strong following.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I just need to stop the show because I can see you just researching Zapped.
So the Zapped Again poster again has a little bit of telekinesis upskirt action, and this is the tagline for Zapped Again. Everson High has raised more than its academic standard.
Hey, because telekinesis raises things.
That's right. Please continue.
The Dark Crystal. I'd had kind of high hopes for it. I like Jim Henson. Lots of people love this. Guess what? I didn't love this movie. And you've never seen Dark Crystal?
No.
I mean, it has some similarities to... I mean, it's a movie that has Muppet-like characters, although not the Muppets.
Yeah, like Yoda.
I'd also say Yoda wasn't in it either.
Also, Muppet-like creatures, not Muppets, are also known as puppets.
Yes, puppets. This one was a little too creepy for me, I can see from my notes. So, story
and
was...
And you watched it as an adult.
I watched it just 2 years...
And it's
two
a
and
children's
half
movie, yeah. Correct?
I said the story was intriguing, but not great. There we go.
All right.
Number nine for you.
Number nine for me is a Werner Herzog movie, Fitzcarraldo. This is not my favorite Werner Herzog movie, but it's maybe my favorite behind-the-scenes Werner Herzog movie. So, Fitzcarraldo is based on a true story of... A crazy man in the South American jungle who decides rather than, I forget what the circumstances are that force him to do this, but rather than taking his boat the long way around, he abuses the local native population to force them to take it apart and move it over a mountain. And to make a movie about this, a crazy man went to the South American jungle and abused the local native population to get them to haul a boat over a mountain. That's so to horrible. Film this movie about this crazy guy who moved his, and not we're not talking like a canoe, we're talking like a riverboat, a steamship, to get it over the mountain, Werner Herzog moved the boat over the mountain in real life. And the behind-the-scenes documentary on Fitzcarraldo is as worth watching as the actual movie itself. It's in a crazy career filmed with morally questionable activities. This one sits at the top. I love Werner Herzog.
So you like it because he did something bad?
I mean, I'm probably being a little facetious. I don't know how much he actually abused people, but he did, like, get the natives to come and be extras in the movie, but they were actually hauling this boat over the mountain. So it's this weird meeting of real life and art because the movie about this event literally recreates the event.
Dang. All right. Ready for my next one? Where are we at?
Number eight.
All right. Number eight for me is a movie that you love.
Yeah.
And I hated.
The Thing.
It's called E.T. Oh. The Extra.
Really? So you put The Thing above
E.T.? When we get to The Thing, it's higher up than E.T. Yeah, I did not like E.T. We did a whole episode about this over on the Extra Feed. I just checked episode 30 of the Extra Feed. So we won't have to rehash here. I just want to read one thing that I wrote in my review, which is this. The best thing about E.T. is his love for Reese's Pieces, because I too love Reese's Pieces. That's all I want to read for my review.
I don't know why you hate this movie so much.
I know why, but we've talked about it, but you know why. I think as a kid, the character design creeped me out so much I can't get over it as an adult.
Yeah. Well, you could.
I don't. E.T. just creeps me out too much. I'll tell you what. There's something about the actual just alien design I don't like. But then also, there's something about at the end of the movie when he got sick and there was kind of like decaying or something.
Yeah.
I just remember that messing with me at some point when I was younger. All right, go ahead. Number 9 for you, or 8, or wherever.
8 for me is Rambo, or First Blood.
So it's so funny because we're going to have crossover because a lot of the movies you've seen, I've seen.
Right.
So we'll get to Rambo later.
Okay.
Love Rambo. Do you want to talk about it now or not?
No, I mean, I think we've talked about Rambo, which I'm going to watch Rambo 3 this week, so I'll send you the code.
Good. All right. Next up is The Thing, which you had asked about.
I love The Thing. This is one of my favorite movies from 1982.
Is it one of your favorite John Carpenter?
I think it is my favorite John Carpenter movie.
Okay. What? I've liked some of his things, right? What else? name some of...
I don't think you have.
Name a few.
Did you like Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah, I think I like that one, maybe. What else is there that I've seen by him?
I don't know. I don't think you've seen
you know, I've been wanting to watch
Halloween.
They Live.
Oh, I like They Live. They Live has this great scene about two-thirds through where these two guys get in a fist fight in a parking lot, and every time you think it's over, it just keeps going. It's like a 10-minute scene.
The reason I want to see it is it stars Rowdy Roddy Piper,
right?
Professional wrestler.
Oh, it's great. I love They Live.
I'm sure we did an episode on The Thing, but I can't find it. So
yeah, you didn't like it. No. I'm not shocked.
Whatever.
All right.
Wow. I haven't updated. So I have a list on Letterboxd of all of the movies that we've done episodes for. It looks like I haven't updated this since like episode 960.
Well.
So the Thing episode has been since then.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Number 7. I don't even know.
And my number 7 is Eating Raoul, which is a satirical comedy involving cannibalism. It's fantastic. I don't think you'd like it.
Thank you. All right, number 6 for me, The King of Comedy.
Oh, that's coming up.
It's a Martin Scorsese film starring Robert De Niro.
Super good.
I watched it in preparation for The Joker.
Yeah.
But ended up liking this much more than The Joker.
It's definitely a better movie than Joker.
Yeah.
But I like them both.
Okay. This was an inspiration for Joker. Yeah, I remember thinking after I saw this, I always liked Robert De Niro, but something about this movie made me think, is he one of my favorite actors? He's great. Where do you rank him as of all actors?
I guess it depends on how much you take some of his later career, hold that against him.
Like Meet the Fockers?
Yes.
Or, I remember there were two comedies he was in called Analyze This and Analyze That. Do you remember that?
I haven't seen those.
I remember liking those. But again, I haven't seen him since the theater.
He's especially like 1980s, 70s Robert De Niro was something very special. I'd say that's one of the greatest. And into the 90s, too. I mean, especially like Heat is one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. And Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. And I don't know where I'd rank him, but high.
All right, number 6 for you.
Is a minimalist movie called Koyaanisqatsi. This is a great movie, and you should just watch it. It's what I imagine being on drugs feels like.
We've seen very different movies. Very, very different types of movies. Because
I haven't seen Zapped.
Because my number 5...
Oh, there's a Venn diagram here, and it does overlap, but it goes in wildly different directions outside of there.
So, Ben, CGI has changed a lot over the years.
Yes.
But growing up, I was a pretty big fan of my number 5, which is Tron, the original Tron.
I have not seen it.
And watching it here just about 2 years ago. So, I watched it 2 years ago for the first time in years. Maybe since the first time since I was a child. And, yes, the graphics are horrible. But it was like sort of endearing. Like, oh, look at you, Tron. Trying to make it happen. But it was, for its time, 40 years ago, pretty great, right?
This is a great movie to do in celebration of your 40th birthday because almost all of your reactions are responses to what you thought as a child.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like once you have a strong reaction to a movie, you don't get past that for good or ill.
I see from my notes here that I thought the CGI... I know you don't watch a lot of deleted scenes, but if you do, you'll sometimes see a scene that has like planned CGI, but you can tell they're just walking by a green screen, or there's just random things wrong with the screen. Maybe it's not fully developed yet. That's what this whole movie was like, though. It just looked like a bunch of deleted scenes that had never been finished. But kind of fun story.
It definitely sounds better than E.T. and The Thing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. We're on the same page. You should check it out.
I don't think I will. No, my number five is King of Comedy.
All right. Yeah, great movie. My number four is a movie I think you love. I think it'll probably be on your list still, Blade Runner.
Of course.
We've reviewed this, I think, multiple times here on the show. We've talked about Blade Runner 2049. I remember that day I was torn. I ended up giving it a 4-star rating, which I think you probably are at 5 for this one.
Oh, yeah.
But I was torn between 4 and 4.5. And I almost felt like, do I feel like it should be higher because it's a classic? But I can see from my notes here. Let's see what I say. Love the first act, love the very end, but then I thought there were some parts here. I think there were some issues with the storytelling, as interesting ideas trumped plot coherence. Do you think that's true for Blade Runner?
That was kind of more in the second act. I know what you're trying to say, but I don't think I would frame it as a negative.
Okay.
So I think that if I was, and I'm not ready to do this now, but if I was to develop an argument, like you're latching onto something that exists in the movie, but I think you're interpreting it as a negative, where I would argue it's not.
All right. So, but I feel very fond towards Blade Runner. So that's my number four. What's your number four?
E.T. Big fan.
Yeah. And you watch it with your kids, which I think made a difference.
You know what I just watched with my kids?
What?
The older kids. I just introduced them to the Dark Knight trilogy.
Oh, wow.
It was fantastic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there is something different about watching things with their kids, and it does shape how you feel about it. So I want to ask for E.T., was the fact that your kids really liked it, did that fact make you really like it?
No, absolutely not. My kids taste they have terrible taste 90% of the time. I will sometimes feel ashamed of what they like.
So I'm not talking about E.T. in this case because my kids haven't seen it, but my opinion of films is very swayed by what the kids think.
So to restate that, you are heavily influenced in your cinematic and artistic opinions by a group of people whose average age is under 5.
I thought you were going somewhere else, because I'm greatly influenced by what my kids think and what myself as a kid thought.
That's true. So you can add yourself into that.
So, all right, where are we at? 3?
Did you ever feel like maybe you should flip that? You be the influencer.
That's what you try to do with your kids, right? You try to get them to like great things. All right. I'll go ahead and do my number 3 now if you're ready.
All right.
Number 3 for me, Rocky 3. Okay. Yeah, I've been rewatching the Rocky series. And last week I've watched Rocky 5 and Rocky Balboa, which is basically Rocky 6. Looking forward to Creed later this year. So kind of just getting hyped up for that. Do you think we'll see Creed 3 together?
I forgot it was coming out.
Okay. But will you go with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Rocky 3, I think it's great. I ended up giving it 4 stars. Not as good as 1 and 2, but I still really like 3. It's better. I'm trying to think what's better. 4 is better. It's
4 probably, is more entertaining.
So, okay. I think I would rank Rocky 3 4th of the movies, but those the first 4 Rocky films are all great.
In very different ways. Yeah. Rocky 3 is good. I liked it. The thought that it's better than Blade Runner is blasphemous.
I mean, to me.
Well, to anyone.
Sorry. I think I'm becoming...
You should screen them both for your kids and see what they think.
I'm becoming a big Rocky fan. Even though you and I just recently watched the whole series. I think it was... When was it? Like 4 years ago or 5 years ago that we watched it for the first time. But I'm starting to feel towards the Rocky franchise like I feel about those franchises I really love, like Back to the Future, Lost. Like kind of loyal to it.
Oh,
I start to build loyalty towards certain things.
You should not do that.
All right. Number 3 for you.
The Thing. Okay. I absolutely love The Thing. I think it's a masterpiece of just tense, perfect filmmaking.
Such a gross movie.
It's not that gross.
It is pretty gross.
I think we need to find a way to desensitize you.
We gotta watch Zapped and Zapped Again.
But we're definitely watching Zapped and reviewing it on the Uncensored feed.
All right. So we just were talking about franchises I feel loyal to. My next movie is from a franchise I don't necessarily feel loyal to. This just happens to be a great movie. It's Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
I hate Star Trek, and this is a great movie.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't have a lot more to say. I've watched minimal of the original series, like so minimal, I'd think maybe 5 episodes. I have not seen all of the original series cast-led films, but I do really like this one.
It's a great movie.
All right, number 2 for you.
Especially after the debacle that is the first one, a motion picture.
I believe I've seen it. I don't know for a fact I've seen the whole thing of number 1, the motion picture.
It's trying to be like 2001, but it is definitely not directed by Stanley Kubrick.
You're probably going to hate this, but because I do sometimes just watch through franchises, I'm interested in, I was going to say revisiting, but basically visiting for the first time the original cast Star Trek movies. But I never feel like I want to so much that I actually do it. I think it's an idea I have that I will probably do someday.
That's but not worth it.
I don't know. There's other things I'd rather watch for now.
My number 2 is Blade Runner. Right. It's a movie that I think every time I watch it, I like it more.
I could see that being true for me, too. Yeah. I've seen it twice, and I liked it more the second time.
Right. It's a masterpiece.
Maybe 3 times, but I think twice for sure.
However, I also hold the controversial Blade Runner opinion that 2049 is better.
I think I hold that opinion.
Yeah, but most people, people who love Blade Runner do not. I love Blade Runner. I think 2049, to me, is on a whole different level.
Hmm. You know, I had planned on rewatching 2049 after I watched the first one a couple years back. I never did. I should do that. All right. My number 1 is actually one of your runners up, which is kind of a bummer. But as with the Rocky franchise, I'm also becoming a fan of the Rambo franchise.
That wasn't a runner up.
Oh, I thought it was.
I had it at number 8.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I thought you had said that earlier. So my number 1 movie is First Blood, which is the first Rambo movie.
Yeah, it's super good.
Man, I love that one. Really like the second one. I know you didn't like it as much. So I'm surprised we haven't started 3 yet, but it sounds like this week.
Yeah.
We'll get to Rambling with Rambo Part 3.
I'm trying to think of why I haven't gotten to 3. Oh, Elden Ring.
Yeah. But, we watched the first one, though, like a year ago. I think there's just been other things.
There have been other things.
So it's all right. So First Blood, I love it. 5 stars. It's the only thing I have on my list that's 5 stars. What do you give First Blood 5 stars?
Either 4.5, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I feel like maybe I'd have to watch it again. It's a good movie.
It does make me think before you do your number 1. So that's my only 5-star movie. So I hope it's clear to the listeners, specifically because Zapped is on my list. This is not a list of favorite films. It's a list of my favorite films I've seen from 1982. I happen to have seen 10 films from 1982. Zapped happens to be one of them.
You made a pretty good case. You convinced me to want to see Zapped, so I don't think you have anything to apologize for.
So, there. I've done my public service announcement. I'm not recommending Zapped. I happen to have watched it as a child.
Yeah, the completionists out there are going to want to see everything on both of our lists.
Oh. Just imagine. I said my parents. I showed some of my grandparents. My grandparents were probably taking a nap or in the other room, and there I was watching Zapped as like a 7 or 8 year old.
Right.
Can you imagine your 7 year old watching
Zapped? No, I don't think I'd be a fan of that idea. All right, my number 1 is Ingmar Bergman's best movie, and he's made some great ones. Fanny and Alexander. Watch the 5-hour television version. This movie is epic. It's exquisite. He would still make some movies for the next 20 years, but this is really the capstone of his career, and it distills so many themes and ideas that he'd been working through for the decades previous to Fanny and Alexander, and this movie is so good. It works on every level, thematically, as an exercise in cinematography and technical filmmaking and storytelling and characters. I adore this movie.
All right. Of the movies on your list, it sounds like maybe it's this one. I was going to ask, which would you most recommend to me and my likes and dislikes?
Yeah, I think Fanny and Alexander, but I don't know if I'd start there with Ingmar Bergman.
Okay.
Well, he's a challenging filmmaker.
Well, listeners, thanks.
Maybe Eating Raoul.
Thanks for, is that, what number was that?
That was number 7. Okay.
Thanks for celebrating my birthday with me, listeners, by letting us recap some movies from my birth year. Ben, remind me your birth year.
1985.
All right, so we can do this again in a couple years.
Yeah.
Three
of them. Exactly.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing off. Next time you hear my voice, I'll be 40 years old.
Wow. That's great. Unless they listen to the Dune episode we're about to record. Are you just going to let me solo that one? Okay.
I can't say anything because I said the next time you... this is the main feed. So the next time they hear the main feed.
Okay.
Let me say it again. The next time you hear my voice in the main feed, I'll be 40 years old. So long, folks.
Yeah, goodbye.